Good evening and welcome to the City of Morro Bay Recreation and Parks Commission regular meeting Thursday, March 19th, 2015. We have a quorum, so I'd like to observe a moment of silence. Okay, thank you very much. I have a quick announcement. After careful consideration, Aaron Oakes has decided to resign his position as a Recreation and Parks Commissioner. His vacancy will be addressed by the City Council. This commission would like to thank Mr. Oakes for his support and time serving the City of Morro Bay community as a Recreation and Parks Commissioner. And also, we were going to do some presentations tonight, but I do not believe that either of the parties that were going to receive the presentations were available this evening. So we'll reschedule that at the first opportunity. And one other announcement, April 11th and 12th is the Morro Bay citywide garage sale. So any other commissioners have a few little announcements, please?
This Saturday is the Morro Bay High School fundraiser for the tennis team tournament. Anybody who would like to enter, call Kathy Daneker at 801-1443. There'll be three divisions, an advanced, intermediate, and novice. The funds are used to provide uniforms for the boys' teams. Tennis Warehouse is providing prizes for first and second place in each division. Bands on the Run, just a reminder, is on May 23rd, half marathon, 10K, and 5K, supporting the Morro Bay High School Music Boosters. Tomorrow is the 46th annual Dixon Spaghetti Dinner at the Morro Bay Recreation Community Center. It is sponsored by the Morro Bay Community Foundation, the Senior Citizens Foundation, and the Morro Bay Recreation and Parks Department. 5 to 7:30, $10 for adults, $5 for kids. Kids can be entered in to win a bicycle, and you don't have to be present to win. Just need to be there to enter.
Entrance is free? Okay. Say that. You can say that.
I didn't hear it.
Oh, the entrance for the bicycle raffle is free, and it's actually a very nice mountain bike. I saw it the other day. It's a real nice bike. Any other announcements, please?
I do. I'd like to add to the spaghetti dinner also that it's all the funds that are raised go to helping youth, enhance youth life in Estero Bay through sports and recreation and those type of activities. Also, I'd like to announce that starting March 23rd on a Monday night, the Rec Department has got together with Morro Bay High School, and we now have an open gym for basketball from 6 to 8 p.m. So come on down. It's going to be $5 to get in and play, and we hope that we'll get some sponsors lined up so that we can cut down the price of that to maybe $3, very affordable for everybody. So come on out, play a little basketball, and have fun. And go to the spaghetti dinner tomorrow and eat your heart out. Thank you.
Okay. Is that it? All right. Thank you very much, commissioners. I think now we'll open up to the public comment period. Do we have any public that would like to make comments? If so, please step to the microphone and state your name. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Kathy Thomas, and I've been here before. And I thought I would update you on what's been going on with pickleball. You know that I'm an advocate. I have some paperwork here I'd like to pass out. Do I just give it to you or? Okay. These are the statistics since we started on October 2nd. It gives you an idea of how many players have come through. Can you hear me all right through this
yes.
thing? Okay. But I'd like to first go to the second page. In the middle, And my comment there is that we have about 50% of the people in Morro Bay are considered seniors. And my concern is that we have a lot of activities for seniors, for high school students, et cetera, but we don't have that many outdoor activities that are organized for the seniors. And that's why I'm very interested in the pickleball and having us get some dedicated courts. And all the reasons are listed here, mainly that it's available to anyone, doesn't matter what your socioeconomic status is. It's appropriate for ages young to old. Our youngest player out on the Del Mar courts has been 6. Our oldest was actually just a couple of days ago, and she was 92. We use less space than a tennis court. You can put 4 pickleball courts on 1 tennis court, and we have 4 times the number of players that would be in the same space as 1 tennis area. And I think that that's important because we're using a lot of less space than we would if we were doing tennis. It's easier on the body. Most of us were tennis players. I was a tennis player for 50 years. I had to finally give it up. Pickleball came in its place, and I love it. It's a cardiovascular and aerobic workout. It improves hand-eye coordination and reflexes, and you can play it both indoors and outdoors. So it doesn't matter what the weather is. If there's another court indoors, you can go play it indoors. Now, if you look at the first page, what I want to show you is that we started out in October, 2 days a week. In the first month that we were at the Del Mar courts, and we have 3 courts out there, we had 125 total players that month, 14 average per day. The next month, November, which also had holidays in there, we had 119 players on the 2 days a week, and we were averaging 15 players each day. We went to December, where we had rain and had to cancel, and we had holidays. We had 104 players, which is why it's a little bit down, and we were averaging 13 players a day. Then you skip to January after the holidays. We increased to 3 days a week because we were getting so many players, and we went to 204 for the total, which was 19 players a day. We stayed at that through the middle of February, 3 days a week, and we had 149 in the first 2 weeks of February, 30 average a day, and we only have 3 courts. So we were having an average of 10 people waiting on every court to play. So we said, okay, we need to increase this some more. So now we are 5 days a week. And we finished out February with 191 players those last 2 weeks, which totaled 340 total in the month of February alone. And we were averaging now back down to 21 players per day. It's now March. We've had a tournament. We've had 6 clinics. 4 clinics were public. 2 clinics were private. We had a total of 106 people in the clinics. And in March, so far up through yesterday, we've had 266 players, 22 average per day. The total number of players that we've had come through the Telmar pickleball courts is 1,158 players since October 2nd. We've had states represented from Oregon, Kentucky, Colorado, Michigan, Minnesota, Arizona, and Thailand. We are now seeing our snowbirds are leaving. Our sunbirds are going to be coming in. We're going to be getting people from the inland valleys and the deserts in the next couple of months that'll be coming in to escape the heat. We aren't going to go down in the numbers.
Okay. We only have 3 minutes per person.
Yep,
I think
I'm
the
done.
Buzzer went off. All right, we do appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay.
Is there any other public comment? So I'm sorry. I think I may have forgotten. The public comment is limited to 3 minutes per person. I don't know if I mentioned that. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. Sylvia DeSantis, resident of Morro Bay, 30-year resident, matter of fact. Worked at the power plant, et cetera, et cetera. But the thing is, there still are tennis players here. There still are only 4 tennis courts available in the city, except for the high school, so anybody can actually use those too, but those are limited, of course. So that's what I'm saying. I mean, I think pickleball is great. I think exercise is great. I mean, I played tennis today. It was fine. And I play with older people. I play with younger people. I mean, I'm one of those versatile guys, I guess you might say. But anyway, so we're, I think, an asset to the community also because we do contribute to, like, this following weekend, not this Saturday. The following Saturday we'll be involved with the boys, Morro Bay Boys Tennis Tournament. and it's a fundraiser for them, so we always give them money. This is out of Sarasota, out of Los Osos, another one group that plays tennis, not only there, but also on Monty Young, Tuesdays and Fridays. So, I mean, we're involved with the community, and I don't know, there's still tennis going on. There's only four courts, that's what I'm saying, for the whole city of Morro Bay. And, yeah, that's about it. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for your time. Is there any more public comment?
Great. I'm Carl Ferson. I'm president of the Surfside Tennis Club. I was here last time you met. Had some thoughts since then and like to share them with you. Pickleball has access to the hockey rink and basketball courts 2 days per week. Now it may be three. Is that correct? Okay. People who have their own equipment, not necessarily unlocking the city equipment, can play there 5 days a week. The major, but I think bogus, reason given for striping the Monty Young courts is to provide weekend playing opportunities. It's bogus reason because Saturday and Sunday play at Monty Young is already highly utilized by tennis players who work standard 40-hour work weeks. Surfside itself migrates to Los Osos Middle School, largely because of the competition for Monty Young courts and because there are more courts available at Los Osos Middle School. Further, there are no storage facilities at Monty Young to store parks and recreation supplies of equipment. I have a copy of this for you, so in fact you can. Self-equipped pickleball players accustomed to playing at Del Mar can easily migrate to nearby nearby Morro Bay High School courts, which are seldom used on Saturdays other than two annual fundraisers, which Sil just mentioned. One of them's coming up 2 weeks from now. Their system of light ropes with weighted corners at the boundaries and net straps, not tampering with the tighteners, can be easily transported there. Monty Young is located at a much greater distance from their accustomed playing location. Permanently adding confusing stripes to the Monty Young courts would be a betrayal and maybe an insult or a slap in the face to the tennis players who have provided their own rackets and balls and loyally supported court maintenance for decades at $60 per month, when an upstart pickleball players pay no user's fees that we know of. Unfortunately, the maintenance has not been as good as we would hope. There are local examples of failed attempts to invest in new fad sports, only to find their initial popularity has faded. The roller rink itself may be one of those examples. Another example is the Frisbee Golf goals located at Los Osos Middle School. Tennis has remained popular for over a century, while pickleball is really a newcomer that may diminish and eventually disappear. I kind of doubt that, but it's unknown at this time. Surfside is on record as supportive of all efforts to provide numerous dedicated pickleball courts to accommodate local and regional pickleball players for daily play, as well as pickleball festival events to attract more tourists during the so-called shoulder season, when hotels and motel vacancies exist. The Tourism Business Improvement District should be enlisted to support this financially, and other grants should be pursued.
Okay. I'm afraid your 3 minutes have been up for a second.
My recommendations are appended to this, and
we'll take
a look. You can be innovative in working with the pickleball player.
We give it our best. Thank you. Okay. Are there any more public comment? Please step to the microphone. State your name, please.
My name is Sarah DeLong from Morro Bay, and I'm a pickleball player and have been a tennis player. And we just want to state that we are not interested in Monte Young courts at this time. And we're still interested in having some permanent courts or working in, you know, in Del Mar Park. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Is there any more public comment? No? Then I'm closed public comment. Thank you very much for taking the time to come talk with us. Okay. Moving on to the consent calendar. Does any commissioner want to pull an item for review?
I think we should pull item A4.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that motion.
All in favor, say aye. Aye. Ayes have it. We'll pull 4. I guess we recommend filing. Yeah, motion. I need a motion to file 1, 2, and 3. Sorry.
I move that we file 1, 2, and 3.
Accept them for file. We need a second.
I second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Ayes have it. Let's take a look at A4 then, please.
I know that traditionally I've gone through and highlighted some things that I'm asking to return the mic to the chair, that you might be able to discuss on page 2, this Slope Kappa workshop, and that any experiences or results that you might have come up with as a commission or individually could be expressed at this time, and then I'd be happy to finish up the report.
Sure. So I could address that for a brief moment. So this past Saturday, the countywide, the commissioners, Parks and Rec commissioners for the county and some of the state people got together for the annual get-together, and we discussed you know, different ways to cooperate between communities, ways to share resources and ideas, and you know, to get to know people, because sometimes when you go to do a project, you might have 2 or 3 different entities involved. You know, it could be Caltrans, it could be Coastal Commission, it could be the state parks, it could be, you know, the city. So it's good to get to know each other, to know that all our goals are in line, yeah, and just to you know, talk about what's working, what's working for us, and what's not working for us as far as trying to get things done, trying to, you know, keep the maintenance up, trying to come up with new projects, trying to connect all the bicycle paths and the hiking stuff, and you know, this county actually is doing really well. San Luis County is, and the city, actually all the cities along the coast are participating. You know, in these bike trails and these hiking trails, and then we have festivals and things that we all like to, you know, cross attend and stuff. So it was very, very interesting and very helpful. And it's the kind of things that we do as volunteers, you know, to try to keep things moving forward while also trying to do things, you know, as economically and as smoothly as possible. So any other commissioners that were there want to comment on the?
I've been to the last 3 years of this, and I think the program this time hit a lot of my concerns that I had about special events and fundraising, and so I found it extremely helpful.
Any other comments?
Sure, I had just a couple things. I agree. I thought this was a very beneficial. I liked especially the part where it said you need to get a good core of people that are in the same mode of thinking that you are on these events, and then have everybody take their share of work to do instead of, like, us as a board maybe doing all the work. Find, like, people in the community that are interested in the same thing we are and get them to spread out, and we cover more territory, get more done with less work for each individual. And I thought that was very beneficial, how they emphasize working together to get for events to raise money and that type of thing.
Yeah, well, so it's all about community involvement, really. And we have to thank everybody that does help, all the people that help Rex and Parks in the city to do the things that we love to do, make such a nice place to live. Anything else? Joe, have you got a comment?
I just wanted to make sure that those who are listening understood what Slope Kappa was stood for. I don't know if you had mentioned that it actually stands for San Luis Obispo Agency of Recreation and Parks, of Parks and Recreation Administrators. So what it is, a representation of all directors and administrators from various agencies throughout the county, to include the county and also the state of California. So we have a really good turnout as far as our regular group. We meet every other month, and this is an annual workshop that we put on for our Recreation Parks Commissioners, and the title this year was Community Collaboration and Advocacy. So it was, like I said, from the commissioners, it was worthwhile. We as administrators tried to change the topic and the focus and the different speakers and also the venue from year to year. So we feel the venue was fairly close. We'll probably go down a little further south in the county next year to accommodate those that are further in the south county. So I will continue on with some other items that are on A4, the status report. One of the big ones I've been working on, and I had a chance to work with the playground designer and the installer when I was up at the annual California Parks and Rec Society conference last week, was the play structure at Tylands Park. And you can recall that we've been allocated $50,000 from governmental impact fees fund to do some upgrades to that play structure. And one we talked about the last meeting we were at, we had a quote of about close to $100,000, and we eliminated some things that we felt were unnecessary, and we implemented, and we wanted to see some things that were very interesting. To the left of the or east of the big ship, I'm sorry, I don't have my diagram with me, was the pot of dolphins, and on the port in place to be replaced would be a new dinghy as well as an octopus. And the octopus reduced its size considerably, and so was the dinghy. And those two items alone were quoted at about $30,000. Remember, our total is 50. So with that 30 being spent, that left us with one dolphin, not a pot of dolphins. And the port in place, instead of blue, would have been a 50-50 black-blue. I felt like it wasn't money or resources well spent. I think we can do better. I still think that we need to have some changes in that play structure. The port in place needs to be replaced. And I believe that through some of the vendors at the conference, we could get it for a reduced price. We were quoted about $13,000. I think we can get it for a lot less than $10,000. Different kind of material, different kind of application. I think we should not settle for one dolphin. I think we should get five. I think we should get a pot of dolphins. So I would like to move forward with putting in the pot of dolphins, replacing the port in place so it looks like blue, like it's water by the ship kind of thing, and then continue researching and looking for that dinghy and that octopus. If they're custom made by this company, couldn't they be locally custom made? Could we find someone and put the money in someone's pocket here and get something that we want that's for, I would imagine, reduced amount of price? $30,000 seems like a lot of money out of the 50 for just the two elements. And I like those elements. The commission said they like those elements. They're low elements. They're accessible elements, so they're going to be for those who may be having some limitations and also those who might be old enough to climb on the big ship and maybe not quite ready to get on the springy, whimsy dolphin. But I think that we need to move forward. I'm still wanting to move forward. I like to get these things in place by the break before the summer hits. So when the population hits that park, it's not only safe but it's fun. But I wanted to update you. And if there's something different at the end of this report, maybe you all can share with me if you have some different ideas. But that's what we're thinking right now. And whether we find some additional funds and we can sponsor the dinghy and the octopus, and that's the only game in town, which is playground landscape structures, then we go back to them. But I think that, and I've discussed it with quite a few of my colleagues, that $30,000 is a lot of money for those two elements. So, with that being said, I will move forward to some things that are happening at the middle school. Los Osos Middle School tennis, as well as track and field. Both those programs, the registration has started. The track and field practice will begin March the 31st, and the practice is on Tuesdays and Thursdays. At the middle school, the tennis program is registration is open now, and that season begins March the 30th. The practice is on Mondays and Wednesdays. We know the basketball had ended, and we have about 110 girls playing in the Coast Girls Softball League. And be ready, I think in June we'll have the Summertime Slam tournament, and I believe we're up to we generally get somewhere around 34 teams, which is one of the largest softball tournaments for girls in the county. Our junior lifeguard program, very popular program. Last year we had some staffing difficulties. This year we anticipate we will not. The online registration begins on March the 30th. So you can save a few bucks, save a trip, register online. We have a USLA Lifeguard Academy, which is starting on the 27th of March. And this is really important for us to have the academy to train those who are going to be lifeguards and those who are going to be junior lifeguard instructors as well. So registration, again, begins on March the 30th. That's a junior lifeguard program. We have the Estero Bay Youth Futsal. Futsal will... the registration is underway for futsal now. The season will begin on April the 13th and concludes late May, May the 22nd. And we will have the coaches meeting for that program on April the 1st. In your report it says March the 31st. It actually is April the 1st. And we currently have about 100 participants signed up so far. So it's pretty strong. Our T-ball coach pitch, registration is open right now for that as well. And our coaches meeting for that is March the 31st. So we kind of flip-flop the futsal and the T-ball coaches meeting. And practices for the T-ball coach pitch begin April the 13th. And with those two programs, the big question has been since we've done the needs assessment, we've done some work, and the final reports have not come out, but you kind of have an idea of where we're going. And through our focus group, staff really wants to put together and implement a coaching strategy that is universal and standardized that we can use for all of our sports. And so when we ask you to volunteer as a coach, you know what you're getting into. And you know you have our support, and our support isn't just because this person is good and this person is not, whatever. It's a standard program. It's called, we're looking at Positive Coaching Alliance right now, and we feel that initially it's a real strong program. There's been some advocates that we've talked to and said that it's really worked well. There's follow-up literature, there's videos. There's a lot of support within that program that we can offer volunteer coaches, and we can have more of a consistent delivery of the message of coaching and mastering the sport as opposed to competition and one-upmanship. It's more about mastering the sport that you're playing and being a good sport, which means that, you know, everything goes along with being a good sport, being a good citizen, being a good kid, being a good parent. And the whole coaching, Positive Coaching Alliance, will and should help the coaches as well as the parents. So I really think it's a win-win. It is a win for everybody once we implement this. We don't want to be implementing something that is not as stable as we'd like. So we're not quite ready for these two programs, but we're very close in getting the buy-in and the delivery of the Positive Coaching Alliance. We talked about the spaghetti dinner, and I would hate to stop without mentioning about the Kids Club Children's Center. The pre-registration for the 15-16 year will be available for all grades April the 13th through the 14th. That's pre-registration for Kids Club, and that will be April the 13th through April the 24th. Know that the next time we meet is probably going to be in May, So Rockies, your local teen center, will be open during the spring break. And if you were in sixth grade, this will be your first opportunity to go to Rockies, the Morro Bay Teen Center. So spring break, that's April the 6th through April the 10th. Rockies is open, and it's going to be open for everybody who's in 6th grade through 12th grade. And that concludes my report on A4, the status. If you have any questions, I'm right here to answer them.
No, it sounds good. I like the coaching thing. It's sometimes even if you're really good at something, it's not so easy to teach it. And it's not easy being a coach, so it's good if they have the tools they need to be good coaches, because everybody wants to be a good coach. And we all know that sportsmanship is very important in life. So thank you. Any comments?
On the play structure, going back a little bit, we're going to go ahead with the Dolphins and try to get them in by summer. Is that right?
That's correct. That's our intent. Did you have another alternative that you want to share?
No, I just wanted to clarify that for myself. And as we're going to stay with the nautical theme for the rest of the things as far as what comes up as far as ideas, but it'll all stay nautical.
I believe in the last staff report we wanted to keep it nautical. I did not hear any opposition to that. We also wanted to keep it imaginative, so we're not having swings or slides or those kind of apparatus at this play structure. So it is all imaginative. At the conference, I found another company that makes larger ships that are slides and swings and stuff, but they also make a standalone treasure chest. And I thought that would be an ideal element for this. Probably less expensive, definitely than the Dolphins and the Dinghy, or the Dinghy and the Octopus. But I'm looking to get a price on that, as well as there's some stones, if you will, that get buried, kind of half buried, and they have fossils that are on them. So when it gets covered with sand, children can come up and they can kind of brush the sand away with their fingers or whatever they want to use. And then there becomes fossils. You can see these fossils and kind of get an idea of some ancient fish and so forth. So keeping with the nautical theme, keeping with the imaginative theme, and trying to engage that participant, that youth, into that play structure and really let them have fun. So those are a couple of elements that we didn't talk about, but the port in place definitely needs to be replaced because there's some holes from the previous play structure. It's pulling away from the sides, but there's a way, from what I understand, to resurface the whole thing without pulling it all up and redoing a concrete substrate. So I think we could do a heck of a lot cheaper than what we've been quoted. And if that's the case, we can revisit the Octopus and the Dinghy and say, hey, we have enough money now to do that. But I don't want to come up and be short, one Dolphin. I got $49,999 being spent, and I have one Dolphin. It would be better for the participants of the playground to have those Dolphins out there. And not give up on the rest. And I want to make sure that the commission knows that we're not saying we don't want to do that, because we hear you. We want to do that. We want to make sure that we're fiscally responsible for the monies and resources that have been allocated.
Yeah, so that is an excellent park, and we do want to keep it nice.
I have one other thing I'd like to bring up. I'm definitely 100% behind parks, playgrounds, because I think the more I see, the more younger families are moving into Morro Bay. And with younger children, they got to have a place to get out, and parks are the outlet for these kids to keep them off streets and go to parks and have fun. So I agree that we should put as much effort as we can into this, and I don't know if it's a good time, but I like to see the community reach out and organize a Friends of the Park fundraising group and go out there and help us raise some money and, be behind this 100% and help us get more money to build these things we need and update all the parks and keep them going. So I think that's an alternative that the local residents might take up on their own and become Friends of the Parks and raise some money.
I think I would comment that you did pick up something from that commissioner's workshop. Yeah. And it was right on the money. It's that third wheel, it's that vehicle allows us to not have to impact the general fund as much, and yet put some resources right back into our community that benefit our community. And I think that there's certainly something that we should follow up on and try to strategize. I've got a couple of ideas, maybe not creating a brand new 501c3, maybe some existing, but maybe we do a brand new one as well. And that's a great idea. Thanks, Bob.
Is that it?
So okay. Accept A4?
Looking for a motion to accept A4.
I'll make a motion to accept A4 for file.
May I get a second on
that? I'll second it.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The ayes have it. Passed. Or accept. Okay. We'll move on to unfinished business. Is there any unfinished business, staff?
We have item C1 for you, which is the work program.
It looks like it.
It's targeted for fiscal year 15, 2016. You've had one look at this. I believe it was in January. It was a preliminary kind of a draft form. We've added some of or all of your comments that have been that were talked about in January. Now we're in March. Staff is about 99% complete with their budget proposals. Some of the numbers you won't see on here. But we want to make sure that you're looking at this work program and you're saying to us, does it include everything that I'm looking for, that we as a community is looking for? If not, what are we missing? And if so, hey, this is exactly what we want. Well, we don't need this, and so we can discuss that as well. So I would say that this is, again, kind of our workshop, kind of a format with this work program. Just to let you know, on page one, it's our outlining the program analysis and services and equipment needs for our department. For our community, because that's basically what it's all about. We have probably, I think, 20. You notice that we don't have our maintenance section in the consolidated maintenance moved over to public works. So this document will be less, at least three different sections. And some of those elements that we retained were pushed into admin. So admin looks a little larger than it has in the past, and that's partly the reason. So we're working with Active. I met with Active up in Sacramento, actually, and I had a phone call with them just yesterday. And we're working on some registration things. We sent out an e-blast on we had 7,000 emails plus, and only about 3,400 went out. So we're really trying to drill down on that issue and what is it that we're doing or not doing, and why is the system, why are we getting out more emails than we should. We're not getting out as much as we should, I don't think. So Active, we're working with Active on that. We're going to continue to work with them. They have their marketing specialist going to be giving us a call and working with on the marketing units and how we can better communicate with the public as far as programming. We're going to be implementing probably some things about upselling. And, hey, if you like futsal, you may like this other sport as well, and maybe there's a flyer. So we're going to be working on combinations of different programs, things that might be low, we'll be pushing them in other programs to try to get those participants to overlap, possibly. And a lot of what I hear is people don't know what we're doing, and that's, we need to do a better job of getting the word out. So we're going to be doing our best with the tools we have before we look for anything else. And right now we have Active, and active.net is what we use. 2 weeks ago, Active.com opened up Active Kids. So if you were on Active.com, say you sign up for a run somewhere or basketball, and then now you set up an account and you've got a couple of kids, what happens is that you're in Morro Bay and you would get an email that says, hey, there's this sport and this going on for your little Johnny or Sally, whoever it might be. So it really instead of you going to retrieve information, this pushes information to you and helps you know what's going on in the area that you live. So active.kids is brand new. 2 weeks it's been out, and it's part of the active.net that we're in. So we are working with them. It's right off the bat. I'm not going to belabor each one of these. I know you guys want to be here all night. But I wanted to share active.net, ActiveKids, and active.com. That's really important to us. It's what we have now. And I think we can better utilize the tools, so we're looking into those experts to come in and help us, particularly with our marketing, to get the word out, because it's an ever-changing field for us anyway. Some things that are on here, like number 3, is one of your city council goals, quality of life, and doing the survey that we've done with Cal Poly kids, students, it's just wrapped up. They did a focus group. They did some interviews. They also did online SurveyMonkey. We had surveys, hard copies, out at the basketball tournament. Councilwoman C. Johnson helped us out with the distro and the collection of those. So we manually input those. So those are in our SurveyMonkey. So we're looking to get the full report. I've emailed our Cal Poly team, and I'm anxiously waiting, but I think they're on spring break, so I don't know how much longer I can wait. But as soon as that report comes in, we'll make it available to you. Number 7 on page 1 is provide necessary staff support to develop various grant projects, improve recreational facilities, receive necessary permits for public project completion. This goes... When we look to do when we look to find more funds and monies on the outside, the grant monies, we got a couple in mind, at least 2, if not 4, that we'll be looking to do in this next year and a half, and submit for. And so that is definitely one of our goals, is to find some additional funds. Working on our marketing, our core recreational activities, is definitely a goal for City Council, and that's something that we take very seriously. And we couldn't agree more. If we can outreach and hook up with the community and let them know what we're doing, the better we're all going to be, for sure. Any questions on page 1? Anything that you want me to discuss? Any questions about anything?
I have one question just on the active.youth. Is there a way to track that to see if we're really, how many are coming from that program?
Yes, there is.
Good.
And I've asked Active to send me out what they call a dashboard. And it tells, and it gives a lot of the detail on where your participants are at, how many register online, what their age is, some demographics that we normally wouldn't have, and those reports are not available to us right now, even though they're being generated by the system that we're in. So I've asked through this phone conference that I be emailed a copy of this every month until it's made available to us to retrieve on our own. So tracking down the success and where people are coming from is important for us to say, hey, this is a good stream. Let's continue this, or let's not continue this, and let's diverse and go somewhere else and put our marketing energies and efforts where it's going to get the best results. So I would agree with you. Yeah, it's important because either we continue it or we don't.
Thank you.
Sure.
When Active sends out a blast for us, is there a fee for that or a?
No, we have. I mean to cut you short, but we have a couple of ways we send out. We send out e-blast or a news blast, which goes through our website, or Notify Me, if you will, and that's through Civic Plus. There's no cost in that. The active emails that we send out, those are at no cost to us as well. I shouldn't say there's nothing's free. So we do pay fees to use Active. Included in those fees would be all the amenities, which would include the marketing and email blast that we had just sent out, actually. And we'll continue to send those out. We just want to fine-tune it so we get the most for our money.
I'm mostly asking because we're using active.com and they are charging us for Bands on the Run for a blast, and I just was curious as to how you handle that.
There's two different actives. Active.com would charge you for your group for this. Active.net is the registration program that we have. We have a registration, facility reservation, and there's also a child care module. So there's different modules that we pick up. Now, when we do our run, we do it active.com. And we are actually looking at another company that may be able to do it less expensive and a whole lot easier. And we'd be happy to share that with you after the meeting. Flipping through, you'll look at on page 2 of the work program, number 12. This is a goal for City Council. This is one that we've addressed for years. Our collaboration and partnership with the San Luis Coastal Unified School District has been very important to us. It has undulated throughout the years. When we used to have a pool, we don't have a pool. We had the only softball diamonds. Now they've got softball diamonds. So it's kind of gone up and down. They're getting ready to do some major remodeling at their high school and elementary. Most importantly, the aquatics, the pool that's being built at the high school, and the community use of that pool. It's very important that we have our priority use. It's very important that we establish the fees. It's very important that we have a very good and strong working relationship with district staff. I feel right now we do, and there's no reason why that would change. They've been very receptive and positive to all the feedback that we in the community have been giving them for the design of the pool and the community use of the pool, and they've been 100% behind that. We wanted to formalize that and enter into and add that element into our agreement, and which we're looking to do. So we're right on track with getting that done. It's been instrumental. Our joint facility use agreement has been instrumental in reducing the cost. And I would just bring one particular item up, which I think was, I want to say soccer. Anyway, our use was 2,500 for the season. Well, through negotiations and through our agreement, this last go-around, it cost us just the processing fee, which is $30. So the savings that we have there, we're able to keep the price of the program down, and we're able to get more participants in. So the price is down, and we can get more participants, and then the foundation's doing scholarships, and we can get more participants. We got a larger program, and everybody benefits from that. So I think that these relationships like we have with the district are very important, not only for us as an organization, but as a community and as families try to put their children into recreational activities. So it's one of the council's goals, and it's one that we take very seriously, and one that we want to be successful. We will be successful with implementing this.
From the feedback that I've heard from the assistant superintendents, they're happy with working with staff at the Morro Bay Recreation and Parks. And very positive feedback that I've gotten from them.
That's great to hear. I appreciate you passing that on. So to look further on, number 15 is also one of the goals for City Council, to develop and publish various marketing documents. We talked about marketing. I don't want to belabor that. Any other questions that you might have on the second page? If not, we'll go to the third page. I'm bringing down some council-sensitive items only because I feel that we were obligated, we share the responsibility to not only to our council but also our community. So I'm bringing it up. Number 26 is support the partnership for the Cerro Bay Community Pool Foundation, and that's the 501c3 that we talked about earlier. That's an organization that will and should, and has already talked about, helping out with activities and programs at the pool at the high school. So we have staff, we have district, and we also have, you know, the commissioners, obviously, and then this 501c3, and they've been very instrumental in preserving aquatic opportunities in the last, I would say, four, five, 6 years. They've been really persistent, and to have them to continue their involvement is terrific. And so we want to enhance, and we want to make sure that this relationship continues on, And I feel that it's been a very positive momentum and direction with their current president, which is Val Seymour. Not the previous ones have done, they've done just as well or better. It just happens to the district is Measure D passed, and here we go. We added number 27 for you from our last meeting, and that is the continued support and partnership for the bike to the bike park and the Central Coast Concerned Mountain Bikers. And the reference is developing a bike park. And we met with staff, met with planners today, and we're assisting as far as getting some historical documents and help to enable them to move that the development of the bike park through the process. Right now, they're developing the staff reports and whatnot for the Planning Commission meeting, April the 7th. So we look for that to go to April 7th, and where they'll be getting the permits. And then there's some real, I hate to say rubber hits the road because it's actually dirt. But then there'll actually be some development out there. But right now it's really tough. But things are progressing, and you get in front of the Planning Commission on the 7th is going to be a milestone for the development of the bike park. Any questions on those three lengthy pages of administration? No? And then this is your favorite part, 1-8, commissioners and the commission. And if you haven't had a chance to look at that, I'm sure you have from all the times we've been visiting it. If there's something we missed, add it in there. We try to help you out with that training. Number two is not really an awards dinner. That's District 8. We'll let you know that's coming up pretty soon. District 8's coming up, and that'll be an awards dinner and banquet. And they have a little program that goes along with that. Any other questions on commissioners? And then we look at sports. And you'll notice that some of the sports, almost all of it, there's no estimated cost. And that's enough to pull your hair out. Really want some cost associated with this. Staff has assured me that they're working on these numbers. And we'll see more of these in detail as we go into the budget process. They're just not on your work program right now. I don't want to give you something that might be misleading. We want to make sure that we're very accurate, and they're really going from the ground up with their budgets to make sure that these programs that were outlined are adequately reflect the cost and resources that are associated with them. Because if we're misrepresenting, there's a chance that, hey, and we don't want to be the ones who inflate, and we try to make the best, make those dollars go as long as we can. And that's very important for us because we're definitely stewards for this community. So you can look at number three, which is offer our youth sports leagues, which is basketball, t-ball, coach pitch, soccer, futsal, girls softball. And we primarily use volunteer coaches. And that's where the Positive Coaching Alliance, I believe, comes into play. When we look at our program evaluations and we say, hey, there's a large dollar amount associated with volunteer coaching, then we need to recognize that that is a big dollar amount, and we need to put some resources into our coaches. So I think it's really important that we develop a system that's consistent, and people and coaches know what they're getting into, and coaches will be able to get feedback every week or every 2 weeks afterwards as well. You'll look at our junior lifeguard program, our Rock the Pier run and rocking around the pier, July the 18th, and that's on the beach. And our beach runs are very inexpensive. You look at it, most half marathons are $100 plus. Ours is nowhere close to that, and we got a great swag bag. Yeah, that's like a shirt usually, but we throw in a hat and a water bottle because we can, because our run is fairly inexpensive to put on. And we got a really cool medal. So remember, the first year was a surfboard, the second year was a seashell, and the last year was the third year we did it, it was a sand dollar. this year, we'll have the same theme, but you'll have to complete the rocking around the pier to get that special medal. And then you'll see that we do a lot of the low socials middle school sports, track and field, cross country, tennis, boys volleyball, girls volleyball. The boys volleyball, this is our third year. First year we had 12 boys. Second year, 24, I believe, or 22. This year, 32. So it's increased by 10 participants, at least 10 participants every year, which is dynamite. I mean, 32 boys playing volleyball, I mean, for recreation in middle school, that is a great number for us. And to seeing it increase means that it tells us we're doing something right. And all that middle school registration is online. All the coaches have volunteered. So we're at 100% cost recovery when it comes to those programs. Any questions on page 5? Any adds, edits, deletes? There's only 14, 15, 16, 17 on sports on page 6. And most of them have to do with replacement of equipment. And so I asked staff that I would like some real numbers to go along with that. And we'll have those real numbers when it goes into our budget process. But if there's something that you say, hey, how come this isn't on here? Now's the time we can add it on, put the price in, and move that forward through the process. Wrapping up sports and going into youth and senior services, that's youth, and that's teens, and that's seniors. So remember, we've got three coordinators that work those. And as you heard earlier, there's a huge percentage, 50% or better, of this population are seniors. And what are we doing? How are we outreaching to them? Pickleball has been one of them. And I want to make sure that it's correctly understood that pickleball is sponsored by the Senior Citizens Incorporated. And they're the ones who put up the money. Actually, staff assisted on getting that $950 grant from the Salvation Army to help out for that initial cost. But all that, the three equipment, the box, the volunteer you saw earlier tonight, Kathy Thomas, the pickleball ambassador, she is a volunteer for the Senior Citizens Incorporated. And so having that program is just the tip of the iceberg on the programs that they're wanting to offer. They've got several other things, and the Morro Bay Strollers is another one that you probably haven't heard of, but it's a walking group that meets twice a month. Morro Bay Strollers. So things like these programs are evolving, they're happening, and we're working on how do we market them, how do we get people to know about them, how do we get them involved, at least give them the invitation so they can make a choice. So as far as the youth and teens, we're looking to do, obviously, Kids Club and Kids Camp, working on a few logistics and a few changes on registration to enhance that experience for the payee, the parent, and how we make it easier for them. And how do we cut down on our paperwork? how do we get it more streamlined? So we're asking these questions. We're putting the paper to the pencil to the paper, trying to figure this out. And I think we've got a couple of good ways that we're going to present this next registration period. We are working with the Monster Skate. We sent out Ed Gallardo, and he was our representative at the skate park opening in San Luis Obispo. He was working the Monster Skate booth. So the Monster Skate is a series of skating competitions throughout the county. We are a site. And so we have a renewed energy, if you will, to renovate and implement the master plan that's at the teen center, and to get the modular skate park in the back, and to get the classroom built. And we're hoping that through workshops and conferences that we have the energy and the insight to say, hey, we have a great idea. We need a 501c3 the vehicle to help us fundraise and help us get it there. So I think that the partnerships and the sponsorships are going to be key for us to be successful in developing that master plan. But having the energy and having the resources to go after it is what staff feels we have now. So we're going to continue to monitor the skate park, but we don't supervise. It's still an unsupervised. We still have our city ordinance that says you have to wear a helmet, elbow pads, and knee pads to participate in the skate park, and it's an unsupervised, but it's still monitored. I think that's key. And I am on page 7, the Teen Action Club. We still help out in organizing the Teen Action Club. They will be at the spaghetti dinner tomorrow night. There's going to be, I hear, about 9 teens that are going to be volunteering their time. They go to special events and help out with the senior activities. They help out with, I think, the Merchants Fair. They've got a booth there, and they help out. We're working to get a Teen Action Club booth, like an Easy Up, so they have a VIP spot where they can be when they go to these special events. They're going to continue painting curbs and parking lots, and restriping those for us. And they are very active every Wednesday at the Lila Kaiser where they adopt a park and they pick up trash. So your Teen Action Club, it's been so many years, I forget. But they have been, once they were looked at and kind of scrutinized in the budget process, I think the lights click on. We really need to give back to our community, and this group has not hesitated. And ever since that day, it must have been about 6 years ago, that they have developed a Teen Action Club, and they have really tried hard to contribute back to the community. So we're going to continue that in this next fiscal year. And we right now we have an agreement with the Senior Citizens Incorporated in the city of Morro Bay. It's a 20-year agreement, and we are going to look for City Council's approval of an MOU, which amplifies and clarifies that agreement and makes it more of an operational document. So you have more of a general agreement for 20 years, but we know hours and things change. So we have a 2-year MOU. And through our contractual authority, has to go to City Council for their approval and their acceptance. So that'll be, I think it's the 24th, next Tuesday, we'll be going to do that. So that's a few things that are happening with the Seniors Citizens Incorporated. And we have a couple capital projects in the summary. Actually, there's more than a couple. But things that we're working on, the update for the recreation and access element, that's part of the general plan local coastal program, and we're not looking to put a lot of dollars into that. We'll probably be hopefully be involved in the process when that element is questioned and rewritten. There are master plans the master plan for Coleman Park, Target Rock, and the Rock parking lot has been put on hold, basically because of resources. And I would take a little bit of time to say thanks to the City Council, because when the previous City Council said, hey, when you get the park and loop funds, go do the master plan. Well, they left their office, and we have new council, and the monies did come in from a subdivision that was further away, and it was determined that that money could be used for a general master plan process. Your current council decided that was not a good idea. It was better to put that money directly into something that we needed, and that money went directly into the Del Mar parking lot. So when we were out of Del Mar parking lot, I mean, those funds just didn't appear. Those funds came from the park and loo funds, and that was like, putting money and resources right where we needed it. The pathway was part of the tennis court project, and some of the other funds to handle engineering and whatnot came from the governmental impact fee funds. So there was some dynamics going on there, but really the impetus was council saying, don't do another plan, go out and do something that's going to make a heavy impact on our community, and it's much needed. And if you've been out the Del Mar parking lot, you got to see that parking lot. The park is wonderful. The parking lot is very inviting. And just know, on our side, we're going to be adding a new sign that says Del Mar Park. We've moved the old one up, so when you drive in, there's the sign. And the one at City Park, it says the real nice one at City Park, is going to be the next one will be Del Mar. And that's where we're going to put it in the front there. So we're not done renovating. We're not done improving. We're never done. But I think it's very exciting. So that's be your master plan. So when those funds come back up again, and we feel we can do that. And the last plan was about $70,000 they were looking for. We are working on internally the facility master plan as far as what we have. We've been working on a very old document, and we feel that it is a good time to accomplish some of these things. And this plan is very much outdated and very much needs our attention. D is inventory, informational, and interpretive panels at the parks and facilities. We've moved ahead on this project. We have inventoried all, not only the signs, but the interpretive panels, but the monuments and the plaques, and any kind of public art. And we've done that with volunteers, and we've done it with Pathpoint worker as well. And Cher Stone Cipher, if you've met her at our office from 9 to 1, she's employed by Pathpoint. And so we're doing this project with zero to no impact to the general fund. But I believe that this is a LEAP initiative, and that it will be looking for resources somewhere down the line to consistently bring the message of the city that we have uniformity and some signs and some things look like they belong. Right now we've got a potpourri of signage out there right now that really doesn't really send them any message. And whereas if it was more united, I think that people would come here and they would see that. Not that we needed all the flowers in order, but I think that we need to have some consistency in design so people can understand that we care and we put some thought behind things that are going in and things that are already in. And I think that that's lacked in previous years. Not that it would... I don't want to judge the past. I just want to understand the past. And then in sports, fitness equipment and trail equipment, we're looking at... I met with quite a few people last week about some equipment and putting some exercise equipment at playgrounds is an idea, and along the Harbor Walk in various areas is an idea and a possible cluster. So when I get more information about that, or if you want to hear more information, if it's a future agenda item, I'd be happy to delve in and give you some ideas on some resources and some conceptual designs that you can kind of give me your feedback on, and we can kind of get that ball rolling. We don't have a price tag on that, and if we implement it, it's one thing, but I think if we talked about it and had an idea and have a plan together where it would go, it would help out in the long run. Pickleball expansion, this has a possible courts at Monte Young and Coleman or indoor. We got a full report coming to you in a few more minutes, so we're going to hang on to that one. And expansion, this is a new one that we added, expansion of the city's inventory of ball fields, and that may go along with some of the district properties or some other properties in town. We're open to the possibilities. And we talked about the Teen Center Master Plan, and one of the big ideas, ideas that we're going to be implementing, council has talked about it, is putting some, not necessarily a whole bunch of money, but at least some placeholders and some deferred maintenance accounts to say, hey, we know we're going to need a new, let me cheat here, playground at Del Mar in 8 years. Let's start putting $5,000-$10,000 away. And next thing you know, because we looked at the closures, we looked at replacing that playground structure with $100,000. At Titans Park, we want to replace that one. It's $100,000. And that basically is removing what's there all the way. Remember, there's footings and foundations behind, underneath all most of your equipment, and then reestablishing and then putting on a surfacing material. So it's they're almost $100,000 a piece. But having a deferred maintenance account and having squirreled away some money year after year after year really takes this thing out of when you need to replace something before it becomes a liability. And so A and B kind of go together on page 9. Any questions, add, edit, and deletes for the work program? I know I've been long-winded, and I appreciate your patience.
Fitness trail. What is there anything currently in Morro Bay along that those lines?
No, there's not. And what we're talking about is outside equipment that a parent, if they're watching their kid, could jump on it. A walking group could walk by and jump on it. But right now, there's nothing. And it might be something that I'd like to hear from the commission in your circle of influence. If you go out there and spread the, be an advocate for this, come back and say, hey, nobody wants this. Or everybody I talk to says they really want this. So let's get that kind of a barometer out there and see what's going on and see if we need to really actively push this. And there's a very good chance a couple of these manufacturers have panels that go along with how to use it. And then and one of the three panels is the person who sponsored it. So it could be that, again, we partner up with someone and we get someone to sponsor this equipment, whether they're in the health profession or they're in another kind of service industry that wants that publicity, it could be very feasible for us to do this project with minimal impact to the city's resources.
Do you know if there's any other communities that have it around here? We could go check it out. Or
you know, I'm sure that I'm almost positive Paso has some stuff.
Laguna Lake.
Laguna
Rotaract just put up a whole circuit training trail around the lake, I think.
Oh, okay. I should go check it out.
But I would like to bring up a mention. I do the harbor walk, and at every bench, I figured out exercises you can do that you don't need all that equipment. You know, what you need is a little plaque, and that you can get more benefit than even putting up equipment. It works really well.
Okay.
I'd like to talk to you about that.
I'd like to hear about
and
that.
And I think we can get Rotaract to put up the panels on
how
to do it.
See, there we go. Now we're talking. So, obviously, it's an initial stage, but I still think that if we pursue the other, there might be an opportunity for us. But I like
the
multi-use approach. I like that.
Yeah, use what we have.
Any other questions that you might have for the work program? No?
Not I.
You guys are just chomping at the bit to get into pickleball.
Mm-hmm.
Do we not want a motion to accept this?
Yes, we do accept this.
No? It's a required. It's a work program and discussion to implement. So if what we would do is we add in and delete this work program based on our conversation, and then we'll forward this. Because it will probably change, most likely, in about 6 months. And if the city council says, hey, we only have this much money for you guys, we're going to string that into our work program the best we can. So they'll have real numbers when we get into the budget process. So if there's something on the work program that is a high priority for you, I probably need to know about that. I would like to know about it. If it's not tonight, it's between now and the end of the month.
On a lot of these items that you said that staff is working on, for example, systematically replace softball pitching machines and other field equipment, there's nothing in cost, you know, target date completed well.
Mm-hmm.
Are any of those blanks going to be filled in to help us understand what it is that you're...
Yes. We have some of the numbers. They have not been populated in here, and I'm sorry I had to give you this with nothing in it, but they are working on these numbers. If we populate these numbers, and for the most part, the whole grid, we'll get that out to you as soon as we can. I think we can do that legally. Let me pass it out to everybody.
Okay.
And I'm sure we'll have this filled out before it goes to City Council. And anything, so you can guarantee we'll have those numbers in there. So before it does that, we'll give them to the commission. So I thanks for that observation, Tom.
Moving on to D1, new business.
New business. I'm going to try to save my voice a little bit, and I brought you a PowerPoint.
Uh-huh.
Pickleball. Recommendations and discussion for future expansion of pickleball facilities. Pickleball possibilities.
Wow.
I don't need my glasses this far, too far away. Some people, pickleball has been picking up as far as participation, and you can see by the statistics that our ambassador, Catherine Thomas, put together that, wow. And it hasn't been long ago that she was in front of you saying, hey, wouldn't it be great to bring pickleball to Morro Bay? So I would say on her behalf, yes, it has been great. It's been terrific for us to experience a special group that comes in and says very enthusiastic and very passionate about their sport and wanting us to expand. It's a dream come true. It's ideal. Here's the game. I gave you a little picture. This is two-on-two, obviously, and this is a dedicated court, kind of all fenced in. It's played with a wiffle ball and paddles. So if you've done a lot of ping pong or played a lot of tennis, that's terrific. But realize it isn't the same. So anybody who's instructing you to play in the first time, you should listen to them because it can be dangerous. Here's the court. And this is important. It's 44 feet long by 20 feet wide. There's a no-volley zone. It's also called the kitchen. So if someone tells you, hey, there's a kitchen there, that's what they mean. It's a no-volley zone. And that's the court. So, what this court doesn't tell you is you need some space in between here and the next court, right? And space here between this and the fence because you just can't play inside here. So that's important. The serve is underhand, and she just gets done serving. It has to hit the other side first, has to hit the ground, and then the return over the net hits the ground. So that's the two bounce rule, and then you're free to volley. But you can't volley within the kitchen. I know your mom's told you that, but then see, you can see the line here. Right here? That's that no volley line. So she can volley this ball. Where's that ball? Right there it is. It's coming in. She can volley, but her feet have to be behind this line. If she's over this line, she's too close to the fence, and it'll be ruled the other side's ball. So you really, if you're gonna volley, you have to be behind the no volley line. So that's a little bit about pickleball, because a lot of people don't know about pickleball. So there's temporary dedicated courts, there's permanent courts, and then complex, the pickleball complex, which is like the best of the best. Here's a dedicated court, four players, right? They got it's painted like a tennis court, but you can see the no volley line here. The ball's being hit, probably just being served, so it has to bounce. And then there's two on two. Here's a complex. What a great looking complex! You get shade structures, trash benches. You've got public restrooms and drinking fountains. Really a nice structure here. But it comes with a price. Here's a temporary court. This looks like there's lines like an RV parking. So it's like a little parking lot, and they just adapted it and put their little net up, and they're playing. So it's doable. And right now we have temporary structures out at Morro Bay. And at the roller hockey rink, you can see the roller hockey rink all around here. But these are the little nets that go up, and pickleball being played. Now, we have five courts painted out there because the guy painted them. We said, hey, we need five courts. He goes, well, these two on the basketball courts, I can put all five of them on the roller hockey. So the staff that was there at the time said, that sounds great. But not so great because remember, you need that space in between. So if the next line's right here, you really can't put another court in. So out of the five courts, we've been able to put three courts out there actively. So you can see how close this line is, and that here's the net. So the next net's going to be right, kind of overlap. So you're not going to get to play adjacent to court number one. You can play in court three and court five, or you can play in court two and court four, but not any adjacent courts. So we want to correct that. We want to take out the lines that are in lines 2, 3, and 4 and make 2 and 3. So we have four playable courts on the roller hockey rink, and then put two on the basketball. There's another shot of some pickleball action. And that you see there's only one court that's being played upon. There's a banner out there. We're going to have to talk with the pickleball folks who, it's not really the Senior Center Incorporated, it's the Senior Citizens Incorporated who are sponsoring this, and they've been just terrific. And we're hoping that they're going to be on board either to help facilitate this expansion, or at least on board enough, as we heard in the commissioner's workshop, in order to develop their own 501c3. So it's great to get them in the door and get it started, but is the future with the Senior Citizens Incorporated? It might be. If it's not, maybe they're a branch off. And I think we can help facilitate that as well. So how are we advertising? We're out on the website. They got moralbaypickleball.com. They're on the radio. Channel 20 has a little placard that goes up. We got Facebook. We Facebooked them quite a bit. The clinics and whatnot, things that Catherine's talked about earlier. We've got a flyer there in the senior newsletter. We had articles in the paper. We talked with the Morro Bay Life. I think even the Bay News has had them in. So, and then obviously we looked at some site signage. It's for all ages. Those who are interested in had the availability. And most of the time in this, you heard the age groups from 6 to 92. That's great. But a lot of it has been older active adults, pardon me, who have the interest and are available. Because a lot of times our pickleball play day is 10 to 12. And a lot of times students are in school. So the initial cost for a complex, and that's what we're getting to, is how we're gonna, what kind of prep the ground is. Because right now we're in a roller hockey rink. What we did is painted some lines on the ground, and we're kind of good to go. But on a permanent facility, it would be different. We got equipment, permanent or temporary. That's the netting or the fencing that goes around this. A lot of times there's two or three, then there's a small fence. You see the small fence here, so the ball doesn't travel to another court, particularly during a tournament. Site furnishings and site amenities would also drive up the cost if they were, depends on what you put in there. The impact, the cost of the pickleball, it's going to depend on the facility. If we have a 24-court permanent facility complex with shade structures and all the amenities, it's going to cost us a lot more. So we're not too sure what it's going to cost, but we know that a long term, we want a permanent, dedicated pickleball courts, and anything that is developed will have an impact statement. And a lot of times we have the maintenance impact statement. It says, hey, it's going to cost this much to maintain this. A lot of times it's going to cost say it's $1 million to build, but it's going to cost you $100,000 every year to maintain it. And a lot of those numbers came true when we looked at aquatic centers. Hey, it's going to cost you $4 million to build it, but it's going to cost you $700,000 to maintain it every year. A lot of the agencies and stakeholders weren't ready for that kind of a commitment. So it's good to know those numbers up front. Sometimes they're a little bit vague, so the ongoing maintenance, it could be performed by in-house staff, or it could be done by volunteers. And by volunteers, we have them out at the off-leash dog park. Morro Bay Pups are instrumental in maintaining that park, as well as the bike park that's coming up. And we have an agreement with the Central Coast Concerned Mountain Bikers. They're going to do so much work to help maintain it. We're going to still have the liability, obviously, as a city because we own it. But they would be taking on a lot of responsibility and a lot of safety checks and adhere to the policies that we stated in our agreement. We met on March the 6th. And we had a subcommittee meeting with the LEAP program. And the initiative was to look at recreational activities that could enhance and promote tourism. And so we would be looking for not necessarily the direct economic impact, but mostly the indirect economic impact that a community would feel from a type of an activity coming in. And right now, probably the best thing you can think about is a girls' softball tournament. When 34 teams come in and say, 28 of them are from out of the county, mom and dad are bringing that young participant in. That person probably have siblings. They're going to stay at a hotel. So the heads and beds are a one way to that we have the indirect economic impact, the TOT, the sales tax that goes with anything that they might buy if they go out for dinner. We've had some local restaurants here tell me, hey, we had a whole girls' softball team come in for breakfast. And when a whole team comes in with their uniforms and moms and dads, that's an economic impact that really you can't look away from. So we're looking to do the same thing here with pickleball. And this, they concentrate on pickleball because it's one sport that right now is dynamic and it has a lot of momentum. And if it's done right and it's successful, then we can model different other programs in the same way. And right now our softball, our two fields at Lila Kaiser, it is off the hook. We just can't. It's such a demand for softball tournaments. It is incredible. So we're trying to harness that in the best we can. But realize there's a big economic impact for that. The short range plans we've identified in the LEAP meeting were to improve the temporary courts at Del Mar. We talked about taking those 5 courts and making them 4 usable courts, and then adding 2 at the Del Mar basketball. So basically, you'd have 6 temporary pickleball courts. It's important that we know that because you saw those complexes that were permanent courts, and you know what a temporary court is. And I think it's important to distinguish between the two. No short-range plan in this scenario, in this report, through the LEAP and through staff's involvement have mentioned going over and restriping Monty Young tennis courts. Nor have we mentioned anything about the soft courts that have just been built at Del Mar. Because that's not the end goal. The end goal is to establish permanent dedicated pickleball courts. And you don't get those by restriping tennis courts over at Monty Young. That's another temporary fix. We want to see established dedicated courts, whether they utilize city property or non-city property. But I definitely think we need to have partnerships and sponsorships. And that's going to be a key to our success. Because I don't feel that with the amount of resources the city has and how we're going to allocate that, do all the things that we would like to do and need to do as a city. Pickleball is important economically, but I think that we can get there through partnerships. We had a few action items that came up. We're going to gather more information on this indirect economic impact. We sent you one for softball, quite extensive. And this one is for pickleball, and our ambassador, Kathy Thomas, is working on this economic impact report for us. Staff is working on to exploring the funding sources and likely partnerships that might have an interest in pickleball project. Okay. And the last thing we're looking to do is contact the San Luis Coastal School District and see what their use is for Morro Elementary, because we think Morro Elementary is a dynamite spot to go into. And I'll be meeting with Assistant Superintendent on Monday. I have a few more slides. Can we get through this? Do we need to take a break right now?
No, I didn't take a break. We just need one of the commissioners has another appointment soon.
Okay. Some of the current city properties that we have, Delmar Park, we talked about that, Kaiser Park, Coleman Park, the Teen Center, I threw these out here because they would be venues that could possibly be used sensibly. I don't think that there's the room at Monty Young. It's another temporary fix. The Teen Center has been master planned, but it still could be remaster planned if we wanted to. Coleman Park's not going to really have the parking or the space for a permanent, maybe one or two would be fine, but we're looking for, you know, 10 to 12 courts. Kaiser is a very busy park, again, with the softball tournaments, soccer, everything that we do out there. Partnerships right now we have with the Morro Bay Senior Citizens Incorporated. We have with the San Luis Coastal Unified School District, and there's other ones that maybe we don't know about yet that share our vision, saying our mission, whether it be for the organized sports for youth or adult or the tournament or just an economic impact for their business. They're out there, and I think that we need to turn the stones and find them. This is Delmar Park. This is a possibility of putting six courts on the tennis courts. I'd like you to know that we've looked at this. It's not an option that we're recommending. Based on the grant money, it's basically that built the tennis courts. They don't generally give you money and then change your plan the year or two afterwards. So that's the, and at Morro Elementary, this site here is one we'll be looking to talk a little bit more about. This is existing basketball courts at the Morro Elementary, and there's a possibility of putting nine courts, pickleball courts, on that and on that asphalt that's there now, and the turf is, I'll show you where the turf is. Here's the turf, and it looks like this, right? And we talked about the basketball that's up here. So the basketball up there is this court. So it's going to be a major endeavor for us to partner up with the school district to look to do this. And it's going to be a mutually benefiting relationship. And somewhere in there, it's there. But we're going to be talking about it on Monday. And this scenario puts in 12 courts, but it puts them in right next to the right. My pointer is now is where the community center is. So this is a common wall, if you will. And then this is turf. And this is all turf. And there was some talk at the focus group is saying, do not cover the turf.
No.
So, but I want to make sure that the commissioners know that there's been some work and there's a possibility here. I don't know if it should be ruled out. I don't know, or ruled in, but I'm just saying that we've looked at the scenario and it's out here. We should, and then in detail, if you look at that 12 courts, here's the court if there was, if it was sectioned off in four different sections, and this is if it was sectioned off into six different sections. So it has to do with how the courts are aligned and the size that we have. And then that concludes my report. This picture is from Morro Bay Pickleball Group 2015, and there they are.
Okay.
And that was a shot. That's anybody who wanted to be in the first picture of the Morro Bay Pickleball Group could be in it. I'd like to know that this guy here in the corner surely injured his shoulder after this picture. This is the last normal picture that he has with the regular left shoulder. So this concludes my report on possible expansion of pickleball. There is some more narrative in the staff report. We are looking for you to consider short and long-term goals for a facility and consider any partnerships that make a common mission and would benefit all parties involved. Back to you, Commission.
That's what we recommend. You know, we started off with no courts, and I think you guys did a fine job, your staff and the city did a fine job providing some. It's not, I don't think, the recommendation of this commission to repurpose tennis courts. I think tennis courts need to stay tennis courts, and that we need to look forward, like you're doing, for permanent facilities. I think that is the proper goal, and I believe that would be our recommendation. What do you gentlemen feel?
I have one comment I'd like to make. If we do move ahead and make permanent facilities, which I'm not a big fan of yet, but I think those facilities should be taken in consideration, like the one gentleman mentioned. It might be a fad in 10 years. It might be a dead thing. Then we have all these courts sitting here paved over with nothing happening. So I'm really say we need to investigate it really far to and see the history, how long it's been really going on. And also, if we make a permanent court, it should be a multiple-use court. So when pickleball dies out, we can use it for something else. And for instance, you know, like the soccer fields, when they're talking about they want to build those over with asphalt, then it's no good for soccer. And soccer, you can play soccer, you can play baseball, play football, anything you want on those fields. Once it's paved over, you're pretty much limited to pickleball. So that's my feeling. I think if we do go ahead and make it a permanent structure, it should be something that can be used for something else in the future. Pickleball decides it's no longer in sport. And we're not stuck with a big field of nothing.
Correct. Any other comments? Is the asphalt acceptable surface for them to play on?
We wouldn't have a forum if you left.
I think that it is acceptable, but it's not ideal. Ideal would be the same type of surface that tennis courts are played on. That surface is a little bit giving, but yet solid.
Excuse me, Joe, I don't have my Robert's rules with me. Am I allowed to excuse a commissioner if he has a previous engagement? Or would that not...
Only if you're going to vote on this item. You need a quorum to vote on the item.
We've got to vote on this, right, to recommend what you're doing.
Well,
Let's continue.
We would like you to consider some of the initiatives that came out of the LEAP program. And if you're in tune with pursuing the identified short-term goals of expanding the temporary uses at Del Mar, great. And then it sounds like you're in favor of staff pursuing the long-term goals of permanent dedicated pickleball courts and come back to you with some kind of results would be ideal.
Yes.
We're not going to go out and make a decision, but we obviously council is going to want to hear your input on that.
Right. Yeah, so I recommend that we... the staff pursue that long-term goals and bring back that information for further review at a later date.
Okay.
Do you need that in the form of a motion?
I do. And a second, please.
Okay. I make the motion.
The motion that staff continue to pursue a concept of permanent courts in Morro Bay. And feasibility and bring that back to us for our comments and review as soon as possible.
And did you want to add anything about short term?
Sure. As well as look at opportunities to provide more courts on a short term basis.
Perfect.
Anybody got a second on that motion, please?
I'll second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Ayes have it. Pass.
Do you have future agenda items?
We have a quick future agenda item. Make a motion to recommend that staff see if there's another possible date and time that we can hold this meeting to accommodate Commissioner Crowley's other agendas. She can't make this meeting. She has other commitments now. So if we, out of courtesy, we could just see if there is another possibility. At this point, that's all we want to ask.
Well, so I think what the chair's asking is, does the commission want to consider a due date and time, or day and time, for your regular meeting? If there's a consensus or at least another person who wants this, then we'll certainly bring the item back to you.
Well,
and I would say this, that Commissioner Crowley did contact me earlier today. She is, it's a very tough decision for her because I think she really enjoys both her job that she's doing now and being a commissioner, and she has a lot of value that she brings to the table, and I've enjoyed her being on the commission and want her to continue. She's looking at possibly flexing her schedule on the third Thursday of the odd months, but she's not quite sure. She was sick last time, last Thursday that they met, and so this Thursday She's out. She's working with the Chamber of Commerce. So I'm not too sure where she's at, but she's asked me to present to you the idea of changing your date and time. And knowing that if there was a recommendation from you that says, hey, we'll bring back some options, that recommendation will still need to go to City Council because they are the ones who basically appoint commissioners and also your date and time. Thanks.
Is she making a suggestion on another date, or we just grab something out of the air?
No, what we would do is we would look to come back to you with possible dates and times that would be available that would best fit this calendar and most likely be successful when recommended to City Council.
Well, I move that we instruct staff to come back to us with alternative dates for us to consider at our next meeting.
Do I hear a second on that?
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Oh, it's an ongoing thing. Yeah, at least for all of you.
Mic was off. It's like this meeting is adjourned. Thank you.